angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
As Christians, we're members of a body of believers that has literally changed the world over the last 2,000 years. Not us, but the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. So why is it then that we tend to curl up in a ball when they say we're not supposed to say Merry Christmas at the grocery store because it's offensive? That needs to change. That's our discussion today. Why does the church have a slavery mentality when we have the power of the creator of the universe behind us? Joining us for this discussion, the author of a new book that argues for a radical change in the way the church is, in the way we do church, and hence the title of the book, Radicals, Reverend Donna Howell. Donna?
Hi, thanks.
And the co-authors of a book that, as Donna rightly pointed out last week, because I wasn't making it quite clear, and should have, more than just a book about how Mr. Trump went to Washington, the Trump prophecies, and the co-authors Mary Colbert and Mark Taylor. Welcome back. We jumped right into this program after last week's because this is too good to just kind of let the subject matter drop. In the book, The Trump Prophecies, as Donna reminded me, the second half of the book is really about where the church is and why we seem to have so little impact on our culture. Why do you say the church has a slavery mentality?
Most of it is because of the 501c3, number one, and two, because they're incorporated. Because the church wants to, you can't govern when you're being governed over. So it's almost like the Israelites, they were being governed over, they were being manipulated, this, that, and the other. So I think a lot of that has to do with when you come out of those programs, underneath the federal government from the 501c3, and you unincorporate, you are now totally free of any of that. So they have a slavery mentality in the sense that they want to be governed over, so mm-hmm. to speak. And that's suppressing them as far as they're, and oppressing the people. The Lord showed me it's almost like they're having a demonic portal over the top of them. So it's influencing each ministry and each person in a different way, depending on their spiritual maturity. Mm-hmm. So it could be, this is why we're seeing such moral issues, the financial corruption going on in the churches. This is why you're seeing people leave, because they're tired of this stuff. But it's that slavery mentality where they want to be governed, basically. They don't want to be the one to rule and reign like God called us to.
Seems like human nature has a desire for that, which is why so many denominations, and in fact, well, Islam as an entire faith, basically, is nothing but a list of rules. Got to do this, and if you follow these rules, then, in the case of Islam, then maybe you'll be okay. But it seems like that is a natural tendency, a desire, instead of accepting the freedom that comes with knowing that our burdens have been laid at the cross. I mean, how do we get back to that point? Donna, I mean, you make a really good case in the book that we can't keep doing church the way we've been, but how do we get back to that understanding of the freedom that comes with faith in Jesus Christ?
I think that some of it has to do with proper exegetical training of our ministers. I think that is a big role, by the way. Let me just give you a quick example. If you give me some personal advice, and then I go over and I tell someone else that advice, but in a different context than you gave it to me, when you find out that I've done that, you're gonna say, well, I don't put my blessing on how you've used my information. I gave you those words, that was my advice, and you twisted it. In a spiritual way, the Holy Spirit, if we twist or take out of context a scripture, his anointing is no longer on it. It's not just that we've committed the grievance of misinterpreting or saying differently what he said in the beginning. It's actually removing the anointing and therefore the effect that it can have on the recipient of whoever it is that we give that to. As an example, Jeremiah 29:11, I cannot count the number of times I have heard people say Jeremiah 29:11 says that God is going to, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you a future. he was talking to Jeremiah for the people of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He was not talking to Derek about the job interview that you're going to have tomorrow.
Right, right, right.
It's not a matter of whether or not we are being personally prospered. And I hate the fact that what started 30 years ago, you know, one pastor decided to say, yeah, I'm going to claim this, and then the next generation trains under him, then the next pretty soon you have an entire society of people who accept that interpretation of that verse. Let me tell you what that interpretation of it should mean today. For God knows the plans that he has for his church. Plans to prosper it and give mm-hmm. it a future. We're not talking doom and gloom. We're not talking about how we're all gonna die. We're not talking about the apocalypse. We're talking about the promise that God has that he's gonna raise the church. And if the church continues to come back to the whole cookie cutter, you know, thing, the radicals are gonna take the church to the next level and the church gonna be left in the dust.
Hmm.
And the four tired walls of the church. So I think exegetical training is a must. We need to return back to what the Bible actually said as it was actually written in the very first generation of whatever generation it was written in, from mm-hmm. Moses to the Epistle of James.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand a few quick pointers. Number one, who wrote the book? You have to understand the man behind the book. Number two, you have to understand the audience. And number three, you have to understand the circumstances in which the book was actually written.
The context, the culture in which they lived.
Then you have to study the verses prior to and behind that, and then put it in context of the entire book. What you're talking about is exegesis.
Yeah.
Nobody understands that anymore.
Yeah.
They just think the Holy Spirit's going to lead me to just, I'm going to open it up and I'm going to do this thing.
And
the Lord says this, but they don't even...
No context.
Right.
Yeah, and I've heard it described, this practice of reading yourself into the scripture, as narcissism.
Yes.
Reading myself. Oh, okay, he said this to David, but that's, you know, that's for me. So I'm going to defeat my giant today, just like David did. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
Right.
You're absolutely right. If we don't understand the context, then we are basically creating a God in our own image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that she is saying that the promises of God are not meant for you personally today. Because
there are verses that specifically
right.
speak to that.
And I think, how people can hear something and then they get stuck there. And it's like, is she saying the promises of God are not really, you know, is that, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yes, no, you just don't read those into every scripture, but there
right.
are specific scriptures there that do
yes.
speak to those promises
yes.
for us.
Right, exactly.
Right, proper understanding. So how is this manifesting, Mark? I mean, in the way we deal with one another in the church today, this idea, first of all, that we're under siege and we have got no power and we just, you know, how is this manifesting in the way we relate to one another or the way we relate to the culture?
I think it's manifesting in the sense that this is this mass exodus. It's the remnant that's taking place right now. Those are the ones that are flowing in true power and authority right now. When you look at the 95% of our churches right now, that's our best guess, we don't have exact numbers, are under that 501c3 or mm-hmm. are incorporated, this and the other. They're in covenant with Baal. That is a covenant with the kingdom of darkness, basically. They entered into it. They took a bribe from 1954 and mm-hmm. entered into a covenant. And, you know, the Bible talks about where you take a bribe, it blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. So when you do that, this is why we're seeing so many people in the churches right now blinded. They can't see what's going on, whether it's with Trump,
mm-hmm.
whether it's
mm-hmm.
with their own church,
believe
their own
that.
Life situations, whatever the case may be. You can go listen to a message. 70% of the message may be right on, but it is perverting the words. It's that other 30% that's going to get you in trouble.
Mm. And I don't fault pastors necessarily for setting up 501c. It's kind of like that's how it was done, so that's what
right.
you do, and you know, and that's what happens. We get in this pattern of thinking that, well, that's how you do it, so you know, we're all marching in the same way.
The formula,
right. That's what you do.
I want to take a quick break. We'll tell you how to get these books, the Trump Prophecies, Radicals, and also the book by Jennifer LeClaire, Angels on Assignment Again. But when we come back, I want to talk about the importance that a prostitute in the 15th century BC has to us in America today. Straight ahead on Skywatch TV.
In 2006, 1 month from the day Mark Taylor retired from his post as a career firefighter, he was suddenly overcome by a Holy Spirit-guided supernatural vision of the future. This revelation, as the world would soon discover, was a message to the most powerful nation on Earth.
The Spirit of God says, I have chosen this man, Donald Trump, for such a time as this.
It's time to embrace our glorious American destiny. Anything we can dream for our country, we can achieve for our country.
America will once again stand hand in hand with Israel, and the two shall be as one.
I want the Israeli people to know that the United States stands with Israel.
The dollar will be the strongest it has ever been in history of the United States and will once again be the currency by which all others are judged.
The economy is booming under this president.
We're up 254 points, 21,000 on the Dow.
They will say things about this man, the enemy, but it will not affect him.
Well, he's kind of a comic book figure. I mean, he's a show-off.
He's a sideshow who threatens to swallow the Republican Party.
He was attacked by other people who were running with him. His poll numbers would go up, theirs would go down, even to the point where they got kicked out of the race.
He would not be the commander-in-chief we need to keep our country safe.
Donald, adults learn not to interrupt
you. Yeah.
We are suspending our campaign.
I am suspending my campaign.
This next election will be a clean sweep for the man that I have chosen.
Donald Trump will never be elected president of the United States.
Still looks like Hillary's the next president.
On Election Day 2016, the world witnessed the impossible when in the final hour, the map turned red.
Donald J. Trump is the president of the United States.
Donald Trump is going to be our president.
Well, my crystal ball has been shattered into atoms here because I predicted the exact opposite of what happened.
But the election of 2016 was only the beginning. Mark Taylor, author of the Trump prophecies that foretold Donald Trump's unlikely victory and the stock market reaction that would follow, has something new to say about what is coming next. Something that will change the future of America and the world forever.
There's a bigger picture that the church is not seeing right now.
The Trump Prophecies, the astonishing true story of the man who saw tomorrow and what he says is coming next. Coming this 4th of July from Defender Publishing.
Unprecedented spiritual encounters are breaking out all around the world. Prophetic words of foreknowledge, angelic intervention, healing, and miracles point to something big about to sweep the globe. Now, for the first time ever, Skywatch TV is proud to present the Supernatural Awakenings Three Works Collection. In this incredible, must-have compilation, you'll receive the Trump Prophecies. Walk with authors Mark Taylor and Mary Colbert through the astonishing biographical journey of Mark's life as a third-generation firefighter, where a Holy Spirit-guided prophecy in 2011 foretold Donald Trump's unlikely presidential victory. But now, for the first time ever, the world will learn how that incredible win was only part of the electrifying revelation that Mark says will certainly unfold in the months ahead. Now you can be amongst the first to understand what is coming next. Also included in this groundbreaking collection, Angels on Assignment Again. You'll be amazed as best-selling author and prophecy expert Jennifer LeClaire chronicles the presence of modern-day angelic activity, the awe-inspiring and sometimes fearsome encounters these majestic beings create. But why is their presence suddenly increasing around the world? Jennifer LeClaire's expertise will leave you exhilarated and convinced something big is about to unfold. Finally, you'll also receive in this limited time special offer, best-selling author Reverend Donna Howell's brand new release, Radicals. This cutting-edge masterpiece examines how James, the half-brother of Jesus, exposed the sins of the church in his day to give life to the liberating power of the gospel. Using that inspired text as a catalyst for truth seekers everywhere, Radicals examines how post-denominational Christians today can also avoid mistakes and become infused now with supernatural power. Get all three new releases at the discount price of only $29.95 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. The Supernatural Awakenings Three Works Collection will only be available in this unprecedented offer for a very limited time. So make sure to place your order now at the Skywatch TV store.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert, and please, I'd like you to take us around inside your pocket. Now, it's basically makes it easy for you to check in and see what we're doing at any given time. Not only do you get these weekly programs, but you get our web-exclusive programs, Into the Multiverse with Josh Peck, Sci-Friday, a look at science news through a biblical lens with Sharon K. Gilbert, the smart one in my house, and daily news updates as well. That plus news from SkywatchTV.com. That's part of the Skywatch TV mobile app. It's a free download, and you'll get links to download it to your mobile device at SkywatchTV.com. Donna Howell, author of Radicals, James, in his epistle, writes about Rahab, who was the we've been taught that she was a prostitute anyway. First of all, is that a correct characterization? And secondly, why is this person who is a relatively minor character in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, as they're getting ready to cross over into the Holy Land, why is she important, relevant to the church today?
First of all, you have to understand what it was that James did when he included her.
Mm-hmm.
Because he goes in his epistle straight from Abraham, a model of faith,
right,
which we all have venerated and celebrated. And then he says, was Rahab not justified? And you have to understand the pow that that would have had to New Testament culture. Because to the New Testament culture, first of all, patronage, honor, the society mm-hmm. was based. It's unlike any world culture that we have today. It was very much based on this honor thing. In fact, if two people were in disagreement about something, they would get together and do a public challenge and riposte to see which one could raise their own name in association to the word honor. I mean, everything was honor. What she did, with the, you know, that was discussed back in the book of Joshua, was to sell her body
right.
to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most dishonorable thing you could ever do. Now, James, remember, he was alive
mm-hmm.
when a prostitute was taken before Jesus, and they said, well, we're going to stone this woman, what you think? And Jesus said, let the first person without sin cast the stone. He saw this. He had a cultural familiarity with the kind of treatment that would be given a woman exactly like Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
So when he mentioned her in his epistle, what he did was he said, it was kind of a, first of all, you have to understand, James is very in your face about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
He did not write his book to flatter anyone.
No.
He wrote his epistle to say, guys, it's go time. You need a reformation, a social and a religious reformation in the church that you have become. Because this is not what my half-brother died for.
Mm-hmm.
So when he mentioned Rahab, what he did was he said, God will use anyone, sure. We know that of Rahab. She is the perfect example of how God will use anyone who is repentant
mm-hmm.
to bring about any kind of a ministry or you know, can be used for kingdom purpose. But what he did when he mentioned her was he broke down the cultural and ecclesiastical norms. And he basically, because the people in the New Testament culture would have known of Rahab, but they
sure.
would have thought, oh, I remember Rahab. She was that woman who bartered for her own life.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't kill my family, you know, I'll do anything.
Yeah.
I'll convert to Yahweh. They didn't see her
as... She was a pagan, either a Baal
right.
worshiper or a worshiper of the moon god, one or
right.
the other. And yeah.
Yeah. So when he did that, what he was doing is he was saying, hey, church, you know all of these people you're afraid of? You know how you don't like this guy over here because he doesn't have the fine raiment that you have when you enter a church? You know how you escort the rich man in and you tell the poor man to sit at my feet? These are the people who are going to be your next pastors. Of course, he wasn't talking past the path. The word pastors in church wasn't really in
mm-hmm.
but what he's saying is that the Rahabs are the people you need to start paying close attention to. And I think there has never been a time like today where that word is more relevant than it has ever been, because I guarantee you guys, the Rahabs, the ones nobody's expecting, the ragtag hippies,
mm-hmm.
the whatever, the tattooed bikers, the women in the miniskirts, they are one prayer away, one divine appointment with mm-hmm. Christ away
Christ
from becoming the next leader of the church. If God starts a movement, he only needs one voice, and it could be yours. And the only thing that the church is going to do, we got one choice of two. Number one, leave them in the dust and say you're a Rahab, or number two, celebrate the fact that
mm-hmm.
they have been converted and follow their lead.
Yeah, and
this
say and
right.
Rahab, who was one of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah,
this
she
is
was.
Right in line with what I had a few months ago. The Holy Spirit in my prayer time came upon, and he said to me, he asked me, he said, what is my currency, Mary? What an interesting question.
Hmm.
But he asked me, he goes, what's my currency? Do you know what God's currency is? You. You are God's currency. And he said, if you'll take care of my currency, I'll take care of yours. So that's what's got to happen. That's right in line with what you're saying, is having a completely shift of how God sees each and every one of you as precious, as valuable, as no price could be put on you. And I don't care if you've got skin on your body and breath in your body, you are currency of God's. And we've got to treasure you and respect you. And I want you to treasure yourself and respect yourself the way God sees you. And people don't see themselves as being valuable. But that is what he asked me, you know, and I thought that was perfect with what you were just saying, that we are God's currency.
And the enemy works on us to reject that idea and get back to what we said earlier before. You need to clean yourself up. You need to cut your hair. Yeah. You need to dress differently. You need to quit listening to that kind of music. You need to quit, voting for this political party if you're going to be a member of our clique, our group. Mark, you talked about the timeline, the enemy, and they thought they were on a roll, and that, 2012 came and went, contrary to your first understanding of what God had shown you. So we get to 2016, the enemy thinks they're on a roll. There have been some things that have changed in our culture radically from even just 10 years ago, 15 years ago. God's timeline, though, different. What do you see, or what have you heard, been shown about the timeline going forward? Where are we going?
The timeline, God has denied the enemy's timeline, period. They thought they had this thing in the bag, like you said, and that's why they're kicking and screaming. God's going to do something radically different, I believe. It's like everything we've been talking about up here. We're going to take ground for the kingdom of God. I'll give you this. I love what Donald Trump says. He says all the time, you're going to get sick and tired of winning if there is such a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same thing for the army of God. You're going to get sick and tired of winning if there is such a thing, because you're going to have victory after victory after victory. You know, forgive you an example. You know, the church comes in, they have a revival. And they go in there and they take ground, but they don't hold that ground. They pull out. They don't leave anything in place to hold that ground.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord told me one day, he says, Mark, he says, that scripture talks about where you cast a demon out, it goes out seeking rest, comes back seven times worse when it doesn't find it.
Right, right.
He says, don't think that doesn't happen geographically. He says, because when the church goes in and has a revival and they take that ground and they don't leave something there in place to hold it, he says, they come back sevenfold worse over that geographical area.
Hmm.
So that's why, another reason why you're seeing things deteriorate in the United States. That's why... Again, revival is something reviving the old. We need a habitation of the Holy Spirit. We need people. General Patton said it best, I don't like paying for the same real estate twice. You know what I mean? So go in, take it, and hold it at all costs, and that's what the army of God is going to do.
Hmm. So not a revival then, not a, but a total...
Awakening.
An awakening, yeah. A habitation, a reformation. I mean, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to be anything that's ever been seen before.
Throw out the old system and bring in the new.
You got it.
Yeah. Now, Donna, in your book, Radicals, you talk about the role that will be played by, say, non-traditional actors in the church. Traditionally, it's been men, austere, upright, severe, stern-faced men who have kind of guided the church.
And women be silent.
Women be silent, but also children and teens. And you make a case that there's going to be roles to play for women, children, and teens in the church. What role will they play? And how is this going to look?
Well, I believe that God is doing a new thing. I believe it's something that he's never done before. So for me to know the exact answer to those questions, I don't think that's possible. But what I can say is that in one of the most oppressed eras of Israel, God raised up a Deborah, and he is poised to do it again. And I believe that in the James McGreevy...
And that was in a case, by the way, when she had to basically say, okay, Barack, you're going to lead the army, but you're not going to get the glory because the men wouldn't step up.
Yeah, right. Well, and then in the James McGreevy awakening, some people call it the second, some people call it the third, but the Great Awakening, where James McGreevy and the whole Kentucky Tent Revival, the Lord used children, little bitty kids, to preach the gospel and to prophesy.
Hmm.
And I know that sounds crazy because we're not used to hearing that kind of a thing, but Jesus himself said that the kingdom of heaven is made up of such as these. So if you're a parent at home, remember, your child is treasured. They are precious. They are just as important as any adult, and it doesn't matter whether or not they can quote scripture and blah, blah, blah. Teenagers, they're passionate, and millennials are passionate right now. Unfortunately, they're channeling that passion into the wrong kinds of things. Yeah. They want to march down all different kinds of pride parades and activists, and they want to picket about everything, and they want to complain about things they don't get for free. But if they continue to search for fulfillment in those kinds of endeavors, they're going to continue showing up empty-handed, even when they get what they want, because they didn't earn what they got. Mm. What will really give them the fulfillment is when Jesus Christ is in here and he says, go. And then they're going to take that same passion. So millennials, remember, you're not stupid. You're passionate. And people who continue to just trump them all up in the same little pool and say, oh, they're just a bunch of stupid kids, that's the wrong attitude to have.
Mm. And how much of their activity is shaped by their perception of the church?
A bunch. It's, again, we go back to the doom and gloom message. You know, where is the good news? People are starving for good news. Now, here's the other aspect of that, is that you can become addicted to bad news, to doom and gloom.
Well, there are websites online where you can just go there and get your morning cup of doom on because of for that adrenaline rush. But every day you need another hit.
Yeah. And we get emails all the time that when you give people the good news, they don't want it. They reject it. They totally reject it because they've been indoctrinated over the years through this doom and gloom.
Imprinted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. The church doesn't show any power to demolish the enemy. And that's, I mean, what do we need to do in order to take that back?
We need to do what the Word of God teaches us to do, and that is to exercise the authority given to us. We're not exercising the authority. It's like a policeman being given a gun and a badge and the uniform.
And the Barney Fife, one bullet.
Right.
That he has to keep in his pocket.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's kind of how the church has behaved. And I like Mark's analogy of the church, that it's put on your gears and boots and army gear, you know. We're up for the fight, and we're engaging. And being aggressive to taking, you know, sharing Jesus with every person you know.
That message is in his word, which, as Donna said, if we understand it rightly, we'll get that message, and it is powerful. It is exciting. The book's Radicals by Reverend Donna Howell. The Trump Prophecies, again, more than just about how Mr. Trump went to Washington, by Mark Taylor and Mary Colbert. And an honor to speak with you guys. This has been some exciting stuff, and we just pray for God's blessing and favor on these books and the messages especially, and on our nation as we go forward deeper into the 21st century.
The best is yet to come.
That's right.
Amen. And we thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is Skywatch TV.